B-Pod Studios.
Shoulder pass for Al Horford for the two-hand slam.
This is Al Horford, and you're listening to the flagship station of the Boston Celtics. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's TNR.
It really is just a reality check of just how no one cares.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Spoon man doing spoon things. Oh, I'm snorting again. This is all good.
I don't hear the snorts. I think that's something that are very subtle that you obviously feel, but I am not hearing it, Fred.
Yeah, I snort a few times a day. My family's pretty in tune to them. I don't know what, since I've had this procedure to my sinuses, why that has led to snorting. But it has, and so I don't know what the man did to me, but it's something.
Are you breathing better, though? Do you, you know, feel like you're getting more oxygen?
No.
I still feel like ass, huh?
Well, this is the first time I've been sick since COVID, so this is, I'm you know, adjusting to feeling ill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, bring back the mass, I guess, as far as I'm concerned.
Dude, what you have, everyone's gotten. I mean, it's weird.
I went through it a couple of weeks ago. You guys saw me suffering here in the studio. We've all had
it. It is getting tossed around everywhere. So, but, you know, in your case, Fred, you're not the only one where it lingers. Like, this is a lingering thing that people have.
Yep.
Like, it's like 10 days for a lot of people, like more than a week.
Yeah. I took the COVID test yesterday. I wanted the COVID, but I didn't have the COVID. COVID still has eluded me.
You wanted it?
Yes. I wanted it because I wanted an explanation.
Oh, okay. Because now it's you don't know if it's okay to say if it's just a cold or a flu or something
right.
else. Because people give you the sideway eye and say, something else.
Yeah, so I gave myself the test, but
luck?
No luck.
Okay. Sorry,
no COVID.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, well, you know, Godspeed.
Thoughts and prayers.
Thank you.
T and P's. That's what they all like to say, Fred. Well, I'm glad you're feeling a little bit better. A little bit better. You sound better now than you did at 6 o'clock this morning.
Well, that's not saying much, but yes, thank you.
You're slowly crawling back. Well, Fred, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but we have been given a gift, and that is the gift of sexy.
Yeah.
Our own Gary Tanguay, who, of course, is now an author. That's right. Gary Tanguay, who's not only a gentleman that we all love. I know
dudes love sex and football.
It's a monster.
He did write a book that's called Dudes Love Sex and Football.
That's what he said to us. He's like, I mean, I saw a hole. He goes, I saw a hole in the economic chain, man. It's like, who's filling the hole, pun intended, of sex and football and steaks?
I mean, Gary Tanguay is the best. So he is.
That was the sit down you guys had before this all started.
No, that's what you guys don't remember. That's what he told us.
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, on the air.
No,
on the
I don't
air.
Remember him saying
he
that.
He was plugging his new book, which is called The Arm in the Fall. I want to plug it. And by the way, if you don't take our word for it, just go to Amazon and read the 5-star reviews that are on there for the new Gary Tanguay book, not inspired or influenced by our show at all. Somebody said, this book had me on the edge of my seat with my hand down my pants. A must read.
Yeah, this is a real wank fest. Why should girls have all the fun? Listen, I know dudes are visually driven, but I mean, you know, turn off the X hamster for a night and let yourself crawl into this book.
Good pull.
Into a tale of erotic fiction and intrigue.
Oh my goodness, is one of the reviews. I'm a huge sports fan and have a small kink for 50 Shades of Grey. This book is like 50 Shades of Grey. If you like football and erotic cops, this is the book for you. It will make you shoot off your Love Gun. So somebody there, obviously.
Latino chicks.
Oh, yeah. There was a review from someone named D.A. It says, foot fetish lovers beware.
Yes. Oh, that's right. There is a foot fetish part of the book.
Yeah. Oh, is there really?
Yeah, remember? There really was. And then we're like, Gary, like, there's a foot fetish part. He's like, yep.
You betcha.
He's like, I threw in everything. Whatever you're into, there's something there to pull at you.
There's stuff like the best reviews are ones I can't even read. There's a guy who's had a problem with, you know, certain things in the bedroom. He said, I had given up hope. 3 pages into this book, problem solved. No yeah. more Viagra. Just maybe. Reading this book and bingo, my blank comes alive again.
Yeah. Make a baby tonight.
Oh, Tagway, you are the best. All right. So the news is that, you know, the book's been out for a while. It's called The Arm of the Fall. I want to give Tagway all the plugs. The Arm of the Fall is the book. You should buy it. But he's given us a gift, and that is he has come out with the audiobook version of The Arm of the Fall.
Narrated by?
Well, who do you think? Gary Tagway, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. All right.
There's no question.
What a mess.
That's right, Gary Tagway, it is.
Just read the reviews.
And, you know, obviously there's, like, you know, some sexy stuff and all that, but I had never even, like heard, I mean, there's part of the book that I've read. There's part that I haven't. I've basically flipped through it and found the dirty parts. But I didn't realize some of the, you know, what the story was about. Let's kind of dive into the book, shall we? Dan O'Brien, do you have the clip there?
Going at least 100. Tar tore flesh, bones snapped through skin, skull and brain swam together in a swollen pool of blood. It was the final hit Danny the Arm Wilcox would take in his career. If he had landed face first, this would be just another dead guy, until the DNA results came back anyway. Just enough of his All-American good looks remained to know the league's best quarterback was too dead to play in Sunday's championship game. The obnoxious ring drove a spike into Jerry Cushing's brain. A fine afternoon nap gone to hell.
His name's Will Cox, get it?
It's hot here. Or is it just me constantly farting on the set? There she blows.
Brains pus. Blood. It was the last time the cleverly named the arm. The last thing he was ever going to do.
A fine afternoon nap gone to hell.
He's hard scrabbled.
Hey, Butterface. Don't fret. You may be a buzzer beater, but that's okay. Because the Gare Bear has nailed more threes than Ray Allen. And swish.
That's my favorite one out of all of them. That's the best.
Hey, Fred, little financial... You guys aren't going to get this, but he will. Little financial advice. Trade in a good portion of your 401k to redo the kitchen.
Enough of the shenanigans with
something that came out of his mouth.
The only Pierce I'm interested in wears number 34, Toots.
Yeah, right. He doesn't like Pierce women, I don't think. He's not a big fan of that.
That's where I draw the line.
The piercing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. All right, so what is this? What is this, another part of the book here? Let's take a listen.
What the fuck?
Hey, you can't play that.
Whoa.
That was a
who's in charge
word.
Here?
That one got by. All right.
Wow.
Maybe we'll pick up was, after that.
It was subtle. I mean, it was very subtle. Very,
almost slipped by.
I mean, you can't expect us to catch all of them.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, sorry.
He like and he teed that one up. He's like, what the F? Oh, I didn't hear anything.
No, I didn't either.
It was, I don't know if that was even the word. It was almost like he enunciated every letter in it.
We can pick up after that one,
okay.
Right?
Okay. Well, are we sure we're let's not put ourselves in a position where we're out of dump. Dump it, dump it, dump it, dump it.
We're almost back to normal.
Okay, so we're back up. Oh my God, that hit hard. I was not expecting that at
you.
Oh man. Sucks that the best part of the show today, most people aren't going to be able to hear.
get it online.
No one's listening to the radio anymore.
So. All right, let's, shall we roll? Let's run a roll.
Head on the pillow and eyes locked shut. His left hand wandered until it found that and slammed it to the floor. The intention was never to answer the damn thing, only to stop its ass-aching jingle. A cry sprang out of the downed earpiece. What the hell, Kush? You need to go live. It's my nap time, he snapped. The arm is dead. He fell from the roof of the team hotel. Nap time is over, Gramps. Move it. Oh, okay. Now you bastards need me. It's a good thing I'm here or else you would be screwed to... And... Jerry's ran, upstaged by a dial tone. He had gone unheard again. Rolling over, he pushed his back against hers, hoping she would get the hint.
What's up, Granny? Seems you like sports tonight. Sure, I'll have a Werther's Original from out of your purse. Now take off those depends and let's tango. What a mess.
Wait, so the guy gets a call that the quarterback that's playing in the Super Bowl that he's somehow affiliated with is dead, and his first inclination is try to bang the chick that's in bed with him? Like, doesn't that... Wouldn't that count as an emergency?
Did he interrupt his nap?
Yeah, like, okay, fine, he's taking a nap. But, like, the guy calls and he's like, hey, like, you know, you're somehow involved in the Super Bowl. The quarterback is dead. And he's like, starts nudging the chick next to him, like, huh?
This turns you on, doesn't it?
Are there emergencies to take care of first?
Hang on, you're saying it picks up from there? Let's take a look. Let's find out what happens.
Gotta go. I need to go to work, he said. A low and heavy groan crawled out of her. She didn't move. Jerry nudged her with his elbow this time. Listen, you need to leave. Jerry got up, grabbed his pants, and pulled out his wallet. There's an extra $100 in it for you if you get up and leave right now. $200. She mumbled, okay. So we flipped out another C-note. I'm up, she said, sliding off of the bed on her stomach and slowly swishing her tired hips across the sheets. Her heavy feet landed her on the floor with a thud.
Yes. The sound of...
Hey, Toots, what's doing with those baby fears? Want to go outside and burn ants with my glasses?
What was the first thing he said?
He said, hey, Toots, what's up with them baby feeders? Is that what that was?
Yes, that's what he said. That's right.
Is it this some kind of like Degrassi High reference, Toots?
Hey, Toots.
All right, well, listen, I mean, it's got everything. It's got prostitution with women with big feet. It's got everything.
It's got language.
Right. Yeah. It's got inappropriate language.
Oh, my God. That was something else.
Hey, Mamacita. Wear this Donnie Marshall mask and a bow tie, and let's party.
Okay. Donnie Marshall mask.
Donnie Marshall reference.
That's multiple tweets. The stream wins again.
Jeez.
Yes, indeed. Well, you got to hear the F word if that is the case. All right. Mike Gorman, no stranger to being having his fill-in swear while he's gone. We will talk to Mike Gorman in just a moment.
Stinkeroo on you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The East. Oh, Durant meets Markkanen high at the rim with the denial. Brown looking for Durant, gives it up. Drummond powers it down, and a foul. What a sequence for Brooklyn coming out of the timeout.
Well, that was all Kevin Durant. The blocked shot. And then the great dish right to Drummond for the dunk.
What do you think the biggest key to beating the Celtics will be?
Staying disciplined, playing together, and playing with passion. I mean, I don't have the schemes or the strategy to break it down to you, but that's just the overall, you know, I think that's what every team has to bring if you want to win in the postseason, you know, so that discipline is huge for us.
Yeah, getting fired up. We're Toucher and Rich, and now you know what you, if you have plans for the next decade, you can watch this series. And it's the whole series. It was only 10 years to play. In all seriousness, this series is, if it goes seven games, is finishing in May, and I'm not making that up.
Well, the thing that's so gratuitous about it is that if you're a team like the Celtics, who have basically had to take a week off because of the regular season and the playoff, the play-in games, you know, there's, Sean Grady said it best, they're at one point going to be playing two games in 15 days, which is fairly inexcusable. But then again, it's the NBA playoffs, and it's always stretched out, and I always am so surprised every single year, and I shouldn't be, but there we go. And by the way, you know, game one is going to be on Sunday at 3:30. Game two isn't until Wednesday. And if you're thinking, oh, well, maybe there was a conflict with the Bruins. Bruins are out of town.
Yeah.
Like, they're not playing. This is just the NBA wanting to spread out their stuff and, you know, see if they can extend this sucker.
Not smart with the draft looming in a week and a half. I don't know. There always seems to be something. If you give people enough time, they'll lose interest. This Celtics team is different. Obviously, there's a lot of hope around this team, but
this will be the, if I'm not mistaken, I mean, just looking at the matchups, easily the most watched first round. This is the NBA is. I mean, they are
Sunday at 3:30 is prime time. This is the one ABC game they have that day
for a first round matchup. This is as good as it gets.
Yeah, I mean, but from a national audience, I mean, you've got one of the NFL's marquee events happening while you're screwing around. Anyway, Mike Gorman is the voice of the Boston Celtics for NBC Sports Boston, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Gorman, hello, sir.
What the? Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have paid money if you'd done it.
I would have been. I have to be honest. I'm so glad you're listening on the stream because that hit me like a hammer, Mike. Wasn't quite expecting that one.
Yeah.
But then again, you're used to the filthy mouth of Gary Tanguay after working with him for all those.
There you go. There you go.
I mean, it's to the two legends swearing. I mean, taking it to an art form between Tanguay and our friend Mr. Mike Gorman. So. Mike,
you were talking about the series coming up.
Yeah,
right.
Yes.
Yeah, this is going to be everything that a basketball fan wants. Now, as a Celtics fan, you know, it's you're a little more nervous than it would have been if you would have taken the easier path and been able to play, let's say, the Bulls. I don't know as much the Raptors because who knows who would have been able to be eligible to play. But this is going to easily be the most entertaining with all the different storylines. What are you thinking about when you first take a look at this matchup?
Again, there aren't many games that I can say I can't wait to see it. I just can't wait to see this and see this whole thing start. As you said, Fred, I think this will go down for one for the ages if it ends up going seven games. Just so many different storylines with Kyrie, obviously, and Durant is, Scal thinks he's the best player in the world. And the way the Celtics have played, you know, they've just kind of risen to the occasion here over the last 40 games or so. So, I just can't wait for the whole thing to start. Kyrie, I watched his press conference last night. He's setting things up. I mean, he's got God on his side now. He'll be tough.
Well, did you hear him post game? I did not know this. So apparently he's feasting for Ramadan, which means you can't eat.
Yes.
I'm sorry, not feasting, fasting for Ramadan.
Fasting,
the exact opposite
of
feasting. And he's not eating. I think he's not allowed to eat while the sun is up, correct?
Yeah, this is what Hakeem Olajuwon used to do, too, during the playoffs.
Yes.
Do you know, Fred, how long Ramadan lasts? Because that's...
No.
That's not easy if you're playing as physical as a guy like Kyrie Irving does and you're not eating. I don't know how that could... You know, obviously, it could affect your game, I would think.
Ramadan starts April 2nd and ends Sunday, May 1st.
Wow. So throughout the entire first round, he
kind of like the NBA playoffs.
Yeah. first round of the NBA playoffs.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that is, I mean, that's a strange angle. But the one thing Fred and I were going back and forth on, and Walk as well, is if Ben Simmons is to return, do you see him being effective after not playing for an entire year?
No, I don't. I don't think he's going to return. I think that's, I mean, some writer in New York came up with that, I guess. Why would you put him in the game? He hasn't played a basketball game in over a year. He might be in shape, but he's not in basketball shape. I don't understand why you put him out on the floor. Maybe they will, or maybe there'll be some pressure from the front office that they do that, but it makes no sense to me as to why you would do that. Well, although they need play, I tell you, that's not, once you get by Brown, there's not a whole lot coming off the bench to keep that team going. If Andre Drummond is the key to you winning the series, they got problems.
Well, there's part of me, too, that thinks that if you, like, Ben Simmons is a guy that not only, from what we're hearing, isn't even, like, conditioning himself right now. He's not even practicing, despite it was Shams Charania who actually came out and said that he could be ready by game three, which sounds crazy. It sounds to me almost as if the team thinks he's ready. Everyone thinks he's ready. And this is speculation. But he, and the reason the reports keep coming out is because they think he's ready, but he's just not saying he's ready. You know what I mean? Like, yes. I think there's that mental part of it. And I got to think, Mike, like, what if the Celtics come out and win the first two games? Man, the weird kind of pressure he's going to be getting from, like, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, especially if they know he's healthy enough to go out there. I mean, things are already weird enough in that locker room. That's just going to be another layer, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was watching as much as I could at shots of the bench last night with him on it. And it wasn't like he was smiling and high-fiving and having a great old time with his new teammates. He looked like he had been told to go sit in the corner and just shut up. And that's kind of what he did. He sat there with this kind of bizarre jacket on and just, I don't know, just sat there. So, maybe there'll be some great coming together this week at practice, and he'll come out and play. But even if he comes out and play, he's a defender. He's not an offensive force by any stretch of the imagination. And he doesn't want the ball in his hands in the fourth quarter. That's obvious. So I don't see it from their point of view. Now, if they lose the first two games, maybe they have to make a change, and maybe they have to get attention by doing something like that. But why would you do that if you're them?
Yeah, right. And like to throw him out there at the, you know, his very first game being, you know, first round of the playoffs against, you know, and as I said, I mean, if would they put him on Tatum? Because, you know, obviously when he's healthy, he's one of the best defenders in the league. But, I mean, you want to talk about a tough task. Your very first game against one of the most elite scorers in the league. I just don't think that's good for anybody if you're the Nets.
No, I don't see it. But, I mean, the Nets have done some crazy things, obviously, in what they've allowed to happen with that team over the course of a year. So you probably shouldn't turn off any possibilities with them. But, I don't see it. I think that was just a writer had something. And maybe it is valid. Maybe he could play on – but why would he play is the better question.
Did you hear – was it Bruce Brown yesterday who – I guess he pissed off Kevin Durant pretty good, but he said that it's good that they're playing him without Robert Williams so they can attack Al Horford and Daniel Tice. Is that going to be an issue, in your opinion? Because it seems like we've had a decent amount of a sample size without Robert Williams to make it look like at least that they've been able to piece something formidable together.
Oh, I think they have. Yeah, and who are they going to attack? I mean, who's going to do this attacking? KD?
I guess. I mean, I guess the two big stars, you would think.
Yeah. I mean, Al Horford has really performed above and beyond, I think, for a guy who at 36 years old or whatever he is, came in and was supposed to be just kind of a good locker room presence and help guys through. I mean, he's been a very good on-the-court player, blocking shots and just exceeding any expectation I had of him. And I've always been a Tice guy. I know some beat a lot, but I think Tice is a good player, especially when he's an off-the-bench player. So that'll be when they get brought back. But, I really like Boston's chances. I can't believe I'm saying that after what I thought of this team through the first 30 games of this year. But, I really think I like their chances going in here. I think they're the better team, frankly. The odds makers seem to think they're a better team, too.
Well, Mike, is there any circumstance that this series ends quickly, or are you in agreement with everyone else that seems to think it's going to go at least six, probably seven?
Yeah, I'd say six, maybe five.
Wow, five.
Yeah,
Do you think they're going to knock out Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in five games?
Why not?
Well, I mean, I watched Brooklyn play defense last night. That wasn't the kind of defense they played all season.
But Barkley made a good point. But that's against a Cav team that, I mean, it was a... They're mediocre right now.
But it's the overall.
They also let him back into it. I mean, the end of that game, I mean, the Cavs, what was Brooklyn up by, like 24 points at one point, and they let him back in. Yeah. It wasn't an impressive win.
They got below 8.5. That's all I know.
Yep. Yes. That's very true. Mike?
Did Rondo chuck that up at the end?
So you enjoyed your evening. Good for you. Right. Very happy for you, Mike.
You don't get by just on passion alone.
I understand. Yeah.
Is the whole angle of, you know, Ime Udoka last year being an assistant coach under Steve Nash, is that overrated, or is there something to that?
I don't think there's a lot to it, but there's something to it for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's not like Steve Nash went out and changed everything I think that's there's definitely something to that. I think everything plays for the Celtics here. Who's playing the best basketball right now as a team? Boston is by far.
Yeah.
Who's not affected by the pressure in the same way that Durant and Kyrie are going to be affected? There's no pressure on Boston that way. They get two guys who can score 25 points or more. They get the best defensive player in the playoffs right now. I just think everything. Yeah, I think six means you're winning down there, which would be nice. But I can see the Celtics taking the first two, splitting in the. Down in Brooklyn, then come back and win here.
Do people underrate the Nets defensively? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, we had Chris Forsberg on the other day, and he just thinks that they're a disaster when it comes to that. And John's right. I mean, last night they did okay, but, you know, that once
Kevin
to
Durant
my point,
took an interest. He had three or four block shots last night.
But yeah. I mean, is it enough? Like, because they get killed when people talk about how they play defensively, and I don't think they're as bad as people are saying.
Well, I think that they'll feel challenged by all of that stuff in the playoffs now. And they really want to show that you can't throw the switch when you want to. That's been the whole way they've handled their whole season, is to get ready for this time. Everything worked out just the way they wanted to. Getting Boston in the first round, I'm not sure if that's necessarily what they wanted. But they got one playoff game, they win it, and now they're ready to go. And they have to prove to the NBA world that this is the way to run a franchise. And you can sit guys and you can have them do this, not have them play when they're on the road, not make them do certain things. And you can still bring it all together and everybody's one happy family and you go romping through the playoffs. I didn't see that last night. That game last night played exactly as I thought it would, which would be that they would get up big early, hang on for a while, and then hang on for dear life down the stretch.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what they did. Who's that kid, the point guard for Cleveland? They were one of his threes or crazy threes that drives to the basket.
Garland, being involved, right? Yeah, and, Garland's awesome.
And being involved in the one-point game down the stretch. And I really would have, you know, they performed well. And Durant is, I mean, he is everything they say he is. He's a great, great player. I don't know about that defensively. I saw what you saw last night, John, but I still don't think defensively he's going to come up every trip up and down the court and get down to three-point stance and try to cover people. I don't see that happening. And Kyrie's going to float around and try to make steals. Brown's an honest defender. Drummond's big. Who am I leaving out?
Claxton. Claxton's the only other guy.
Claxton had a great game last night.
Yeah,
he wasn't bad. Yeah, it was.
No, he played well.
Yeah, and it was one of those games too where you saw Kyrie making those shots. And you're like, oh boy, here we go. I mean, there might be three people in the league that can make the shots.
That shot at the end of the half was otherworldly.
He's unguardable sometimes. He's a wizard. Yeah, it's weird. He's
kind of a wizard. Yeah.
It is. As I said, the amount of circus shots I've seen him make, it's insane. Yeah.
One quick point on the Claxton thing. Every single dunk and thing he had came from Brown. Brown made the pass one.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Are you calling any of the games in round one? Is NBC Sports Boston going to be doing that?
Well, I assume, you know, I haven't heard officially yet, but I assume because it's 3:30 start on Sunday that's ABC's window. And if ABC can bump us whenever they want, and I would guess they would. But I think we'd get game two, and maybe, I don't know who it came, probably game three.
Wow. Well, I mean,
that'd be great.
I mean, obviously, I much prefer listening to you guys than some of the national commentary. So I'm looking forward to you guys. And that's it, right? It's the way it's always been. Like, round one is you guys, and then that's the end of it, right?
Game three is an ESPN game, Mike. What does that mean to you?
I think we share it.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think they can bump us. I think ABC is the only one to say anything, you can't do the game.
Anything after game three is still to be determined, but it's ABC this coming Sunday. It's TNT for game two and ESPN for game three.
Yeah. Okay.
So as the,
hopefully
as,
we'll be.
So Mike, as the season's winding down and, you know, you're starting to take a look back at it, have you taken a thought as to, you know, like next year and the years after? Have you thought about how much you love doing it and, you know, maybe how much longer you want to do this?
Well, I thought I might want to follow Gary's lead and write a book.
As long as
the universe has only got one room for one erotic thriller involving football.
I thought I could get back on the air with that one, Fred. That's good.
Yeah. Oh, I'm coughing and throwing up in my mouth.
So. I know. I heard. That's not good.
You don't want me on the mic.
Yeah, the only reason
it's nothing against you.
The only reason I'm asking about that, Mike, is because I heard in a podcast or I saw somewhere you mentioning, you know, that you may have had a date in mind to when you might want to, you know, stop doing this.
Oh, yeah. Not in the near future. I mean, I want to come back. I want to do next year for sure. And then we'll see after that what's going on. But, if you would ask me this question 15, 20 games in the season, I would tell you I didn't know because I wasn't having any fun.
Yeah.
And at this point in my career, I better be having fun or I'm not going to be doing this.
Yeah.
And so now that this team has turned around and they have fun to do and you think it's only going to get better. So, I want to stick around for at least another year.
Well, that's
my standard answer to that question is I want to be in one more parade.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, that's what you got to do. Now the signs are win for Gorman. Although, do it for Gorman.
So we can get him out of the booth and get Grandy in there.
Get Grandy right in there. Oh, you just said the words. I just saw Wallach's hand just turn into a fist.
I'm sorry. What was that? What'd you say, Mike?
I mean, you should see the grimace on his face right now.
Why would John be mad about getting Grandy getting that job? Does John think he's in line to replace Gorman?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe if Gorman could choose, I'm sure that there might be some say in it.
No. I want no say in that. I want that
If you had a say...
It would be Fred. It would be Fred.
It would be me and Tanguay.
Oh,
you're fine.
This hooker's feet were huge. They made a huge kablang as his hungover head rang with the sounds of the arm's death.
What the f***?
There you go.
There you have it. All right. Mike Gorman.
Awesome.
Thank you so much
see
for joining
you
us.
All right. Good to see you, Mike.
Come to the games? Anybody come to the game?
Game two. I'm going to be at game two on Wednesday of next month.
Yeah. All right. Come on down and say hi.
I will do. I'll bring the kids. That would be awesome.
Yeah good luck.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah.
Good luck getting down there. All right. Thank you, Mike.
See you, Mike.
Fred, you tell him how to do it. You know how to do it.
That's right.
Yeah, just take a bunch of abuse. That's right. All right. Thank you, Mike Gorman. Mike Gorman. Take it easy.
I might be going to game six. I told you I was at a thing scheduled. I was going to be in New York the last weekend of this month, and I saw that they might be playing Brooklyn. I'm like, oh, there's no way that they're going to still be playing then. Sure enough, I'll be there on that Friday when game six is.
You're going to be in Manhattan.
Oh, I'll go to Brooklyn, though. I don't care. I'm staying in Manhattan, but I'll go to Brooklyn for that game. No problem.
That's a pain in the ass.
It's probably about like a 40-minute cab ride, maybe?
It's a lot worse than you think.
Yeah, no, it's long. All right, Gary Tanguay, enough of you.
It was hard scrabbled. He knew the distance between Brooklyn and Silk Satin Manhattan. He'd been there before. He knew the difference. 2 bits more per whore in the big city.
What?
2 bits more per whore in the big city.
Are you reading that or is that like from your head?
No, I'm just done freestyling.
Okay, because that does sound like exactly what he said.
No, he said C-no. He was given a bunch of hard scrabble detective stuff. All right, we will be back. Yeah, that's right.
In the nude.
Maybe when we come back, we can play this guy, this lunatic from Cincinnati.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it really is. I put myself in the position of being the team owner and just talk about a guy shocking you with his behavior. Like, what are you doing? like what made you think this was acceptable? All right, we'll have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's called the Toucher and Rich Show, but you can't forget Wallach.
You explain it to me, John. Explain it.
Honey.
Did you call him honey?
I did. This is like the argument I had with my wife last night.
Pull it.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
Hey, we're Toucher and Rich.
Is this the follow-up single to I'll Be There For You? This sounds sounds like a knockoff Friends show theme song.
The Rembrandts? Are you talking about you bad-mouthing the Rembrandts, Rich?
How dare I? Who is this?
A band called Flogging Molly.
Oh, okay. Well, I like Flogging
Although,
Molly,
you know what? If you want to make fun of me, because you and I talked, I think, a little bit about going to shows, I'm going to a show on Friday night at the band Delamitri.
Welcome to your world, little baby.
Is that from, like, Party of Five? Or?
Is that Delamitri the theme to that? Delamitri. By the way, a band that I'm not going to make fun of, I actually own one of their albums, and it was good. Delamitri, a good band. That song sucks.
Yes.
Roll to Me is awful.
Roll to Me is like a minute and 52 seconds.
The big
seconds.
Hit is awful. Some of their other stuff is awful.
It's true. It's like the stuff that's not the hit is actually pretty good, but that song's pure garbage. Oh,
yeah. How does anyone even know to... That's just like a... That song exists to be sung into a spatula.
Right. Yeah. The right time to roll to me. Right.
Yeah,
the video's like wacky. They're all like little babies in a crib and stuff. It's
funny that someone's explored that band enough to know something other than that song.
I'm in their fan club. Come on.
You know what? It's funny. I don't know how I got into them. I think I was working in a music store and someone was playing. I was like, who is this? And they're like, it's Delamitri. I'm like, the Welcome to Your World Little Baby Band. Really? That's them? And sure enough, they actually made good music with a diarrhea single.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's good. I never would have known that. I've learned something. And they're still playing.
I'll give you a review on Monday.
Good.
All right. So I want to thank Lockhart for sending this because I can only imagine. So you're the owner of the Cincinnati Reds. Say there's like one guy. And you have your... You sleep in. It's the day of your home opener. You've done some new stuff with your home ballpark that you want to showcase to people, so maybe they'll make a trip out and take in a game. So your chief operating officer is you've put the keys in his hands, and this is the least of the things he has to do. He has to do a little interview with the AM station that covers your games.
This is the Sam Kennedy of the Reds, right?
Yeah, he's just the team president, Phil Castellini. Yes.
And he looks like a Bond villain. I mean, he really looks like a complete a-hole. So you're the owner of the Reds, and you're thinking a million things that you have to do that day, and then this happens. This is this maniac on the Cincinnati Reds local radio affiliate.
Faith has earned 15 years of ownership. They haven't won to the extent that we would like, and so you had my faith, but you've lost it. Why should that fan maintain trust in you?
Well, where are you going to go? Let's start there. I mean, sell the team to who? I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, you want to have this debate? You know, if you want to look at what would you do with this team to have it be more profitable, make more money, compete more in the current economic system that this game exists, mm-hmm. It would be to pick it up and move it somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so be careful what you ask for, you know?
I mean, come on.
I mean, all you had to do was go, we know it can be frustrating. We're doing our best. We're cycling through, we're doing our best to keep the Cincinnati fans as happy as they've ever been. But I mean, this guy, the one thing you don't say is that, what do you want us to do? Move the team? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You're not moving the team from Cincinnati. That's nonsense talk.
What other choice you got? You're stuck with us.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the league's not going to let you move the team from Cincinnati. Stupid.
Do I have this right? Phil Castellini is the son of the Reds owner?
Is he really?
I think the president, the guy who's talking, is the son of the owner of the team.
Well, if that's the case, this kid's not the president of the team by lunchtime today. Because you got to be like, what? I mean, this is like really butting up against being a psychopath. Like, I got news for you. Just because you own this team, you cannot move them. The league, you know that, John. The league would never let them leave Cincinnati.
Not a chance. They've been there for what, 150 years? Not a chance.
And so this moron. So then this moron gets to the stadium. He's not done enough damage. So the hard-hitting little guy at Channel 5 Cincinnati goes to talk to him, and here's what he has to say.
Yeah, this is like the Jenny Dell of there. Like, there's somebody, I think he's like works with the team.
I don't even know. It's some live hit on Channel 5 is all I know. And here's what the guy has to say.
I was just going to try to give you a platform to respond to kind of what you said earlier today, because I think some fans are taking it the wrong way, possibly, or feeling like they're rubbed the wrong way.
Okay, what you have to be more specific.
Just saying that, you know, what else are they going to do?
Well, the answer is, are you going to abandon being a Reds fan? Are you going to abandon following this team? We haven't abandoned it. We haven't abandoned investing in the team and the community. So the point is, how about everybody just settle down and celebrate and cheer for the team? You can hate on us all you want. We're not going anywhere. We haven't abandoned our commitment to winning and investing in this franchise and in this community. So the point is, stay tuned and be a fan. Celebrate these guys and look what they did in Atlanta and come out here and celebrate that today. So whatever the message was heard, what I mean is stay loyal to your team and the players that give you 110%.
I love how he feigns like, oh, what are you talking about? Can you please be more specific?
Right.
Oh, it's the only thing anyone's talking about with the Reds this morning.
And then I can like the team, but I don't have to go to games. I don't have to haul my ass to downtown Cincinnati to go sit and watch this clunker of a team, and you're not investing in the team. You've traded away every all-star that you had. You had something going for a little bit last season, and you gave it all away. So, you know, what are you going to do? I can be a fan of the team, but it doesn't mean I have to go to the games. And I just like, in this current environment, we'd move the team. No, you're not. You're not moving the team anywhere. So if I'm the owner of the team, I'm getting my idiot son out of there immediately.
You know, it's
talk
funny.
About a headache that you didn't think you were going to have that day.
So, Fred, if you just Google Phil Castellini, the very first thing that comes up on Google is it says Phil Castellini underneath it, Bob Castellini's son. So that's what he's known for. I guess Bob Castellini being the owner, I take it.
Yes. So he put his idiot son in charge, and he probably just said, I mean, can you imagine waking up? You know you got to go to the ballpark, and then you've found out your son's taking a flamethrower to the fan base for no reason. and then not being able to handle the interview where the guy goes, you know, I think you might want to, people might have misinterpreted what you said.
The ultimate layup, like, here you go. You know, here's your chance because, you know, sometimes people say things and it comes out the wrong way. Here is your platform to clean it up. He's like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about. Why don't you just come here and give me your money?
You're all a bunch of money mouths to me.
What are you going to do? Not come to the ballpark? Yes, I can think of a lot of things I could do on a Wednesday evening that don't involve me going to your games. I think I can fill in the summer without going to a Reds game.
Holy moly, the amount of hair gel this man invests in.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And it is the thickness of his neck is really something to behold. Speaking of which, Billy Jaffe's going to join us in a moment, along with the great Nick Foligno. They will both be joining us in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.